Now on page 10 this morning, last night we were just finishing the note in the middle of the page, and I call to your attention that we have in this Book of Jubilees some interesting names, the Nephilim, giants, and Nephil, and Eljo. And note the angels are here called watchers. This is the common word used to refer to them. This term watchers is in many of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's a common term, a very common term. And you're going to see a lot of it right now. Now, the next passage of documented history is this Book of Jubilees, chapter 8, on page 25. Here's what it says. In the 29th Jubilee, in the first week, in the beginning thereof, Arpachshad took to himself a wife, and her name was Rashuljah. I don't know that I say these correctly, but it won't matter. You can see it written there. The daughter of Susan, the daughter of Elam, and she bare him a son in the third year in this week, and he called his name Canaan. And the son grew, and his father taught him writing. And he went to seek for himself a place where he might seize for himself a city. And he found a writing which former generations had carved on the rock. And he read what was thereon. And he transcribed it and sinned owing to it. For it contained the teaching of the watchers, in accordance with which they used to observe the omens of the sun and moon and stars in all the signs of heaven. And he wrote it down and said nothing regarding it, for he was afraid to speak to Noah about it, lest he should be angry with him on account of it. Now, hold your place there for just a moment. Here is a man after the flood who has found a pre-flood record of this kind of thing that the watchers had taught, or these angels that we're talking about. He found a pre-flood record, and he sinned because of it. Now, let me tell you an interesting illustration. Some of you know this. But Brother Andrews, whom I have known for a long time, who's now with the Lord, was the missionary that I've spoken about to Tibet, some 25 years in Tibet. And he had the writings of the Book of the Dead from Tibet. And he showed me the Book of the Dead. And I asked him, I said, will you read it? Can you read it? He said, yes, I can read it. I said, will you read it to me? And he said, no, I will not read it to you, because it will lead you into sin. If you read that volume and study that volume, before he tackled anything of this nature, he asked for protection from the blood of Christ against these things that he was constantly encountering in demonism. And he had many such encounters. But he said one night there was a group around his place where he lived that got the Book of the Dead and held a service with this Book of the Dead. And in the morning, they went out from their house, that is, he and his family went out from their house, and there were 6, 8, or 10 people hanging from the tree. It leads to suicide and this kind of a thing. Demonism is real, and there's no way in the world you're going to discount demonism. We're coming to it a little bit more in a few minutes. And I just wanted to put that in. So you see, he learned to sin because of the writings of the watchers. These things taught sin. All right, they were angels that left their first estate. They were disobedient, or they wouldn't have taught sin, obviously. Now, Arpachshad, born 2 years after the flood, he's in the Book of Genesis, you can find him, found a record from before the flood, the teaching of the watchers. Demons likewise seem to have a definite connection with these disobedient angels called watchers. Notice Noah's petition in the following passage in the Book of Jubilees, page 28, chapter 10. A tenth part of these evil spirits were left subject to Satan. Now, this is the best by far explanation I know of demons and where they come from, how they come into existence. It'll tell us at least a little bit about them in connection with the fallen angels. But do thou bless me and my sons, this is page 11, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth. And thou knowest how thy watchers, the fathers of these spirits, acted in my day. You see? And as for these spirits which are living, imprison them and hold them fast in the place of condemnation, and let them not bring destruction on the sons of thy servant, my God. For these are malignant and created in order to destroy. And let them not rule over the spirits of the living, for thou alone canst exercise dominion over them. And let them not have power over the sons of the righteous from henceforth and forevermore. And the Lord our God bade us to bind all. And the chief of the spirits, Mastema, came and said, Lord Creator, let some of them remain before me, and let them hearken to my voice and do all that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men. For these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment. For great is the wickedness of the sons of men. Now, Mastema is saying that he knows he's coming to judgment, but he knows that there is a time appointed for that judgment, and he's asking the Lord to allow him to maintain some of his demon host. You know, we speak of the Satan and his demons and the fact that he's not omnipresent, but that demons do have this freedom to roam the world. We're going to see more in just a second. And he said, let the tenth part of them remain before him, and let nine parts descend into the place of condemnation. And one of us, he commanded that we should teach Noah all their medicines, for he knew that they would not walk in uprightness nor strive in righteousness. And we did according to all his words. All the malignant evil ones we bound in the place of condemnation, and a tenth part of them we left that they might be subject before Satan on the earth. Now there you have the explanation of the fact of demons allowed Satan to use in his particular, what do you want to call it, endeavor to dissuade man from God. They're actually allowed. Now, this all may sound strange, but you watch how it'll fit Scripture together. This is not running counter to Scripture at all. Now we're going to the book of Matthew, right there in front of you, Matthew 17:14. Now you watch something. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a man kneeling to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffereth grievously. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon went out of him. It was a demon causing it. And the boy was cured from that hour. But look at the note. Jesus rebuked the demon, but why didn't Jesus destroy the demon? You see, the only explanation you have, Jesus never destroyed a demon. They are allowed access up to the day of the judgment, and they were reserved, according to this history, to serve Satan. One-tenth allowed freedom for this purpose coming up to final judgment. So I think these books give us a lot of information on demons, and we can gather this together and we'll know a whole lot more. Now, Mark 1:34, and he healed many that were sick with divers diseases and cast out many demons, and he suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Notice these verses. They are fantastic. These demons knew who he was, and he wouldn't let them speak. But he did not destroy them, and yet he could have. Now, we're seeing that there is a warfare, and sometimes I'll take much more of the warfare in the heavenly. And that's why we have such verses as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this world's darkness and all of this kind of thing. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. There are powers of evil all around us in the heavenly. And this is giving you some of the explanation. Now look at Luke 4:31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man that had a spirit of an unclean demon. Now, back up just a moment to the end of that 32, because I want to digress a second. For his word was with authority. Now, this is the thing that made them listen. This is what makes you listen. Because I speak with authority, giving you a thus saith the Lord. And this is the purpose of this kind of teaching, because the average person does not speak with authority, and the persons to whom you speak want somebody who knows what they're talking about. We are living in such an age of nobody knows anything that they're looking for someone. This is why I hope and pray that God will allow us to train and teach you so each of you will speak with authority, and you'll be able to say, God said. This little Negro lady that I referred to so many times, that was her constant argument. She'd only gone to the third grade. She couldn't really read or write. She said the Lord taught her to read, and she could read the scriptures. And her constant argument was, he said it, didn't he? And that's the argument. And that's all the argument she ever needed. He said it, didn't he? And she'd give you the scriptures. And that little lady became the prayer warrior that backed up this pastor. She was the one that went in and prayed with him every morning to start his day off. And she was the one that became the counselor for all the women of the church. And she was the one because she spoke with authority. And if you can't speak with authority, you're worse than useless. And you're going to have to know to speak with authority, because if you're going to change your mind, and these teaching of classes where they go around and say, well, what's your opinion? Who cares what your opinion is? What does the Word of God say? And that's the important point. And that was what made them listen to Jesus. He was God. He spoke with authority. And you can speak with authority. As soon as you've laid up the Word in your heart, you'll be speaking of thus saith the Lord. And that will give you confidence. It will give you the knowledge. All these boys and girls, your children, it'll teach you how to speak to them with authority. And the no-so from the Word of God, the oppressions and depressions that everybody in the world is having now, those will roll away. Once you're living in the spiritual life and the spiritual things, you won't get into those problems. And you'll be able to carry right on through with the Word of God hidden in your heart. And you'll have a real anchor. And that's the whole purpose of ever being together at all. That's the whole purpose of the whole building, the whole purpose of the place. All right? Now go ahead again with verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man that had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, Ah, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Notice that. They knew who he was. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You see, these demons were very conversant. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out of him, having done him no hurt. Now, Jesus could have destroyed the demon, but he didn't. All right, look at across the passage in Matthew 8. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadareans, there met him two possessed with demons, coming forth out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man could pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? See it? They've got a judgment day coming. And they said, Are you going to torment us before the time? They know that it's set. And that's exactly what that historical piece of data told you. So don't let people discount history. That's one of the saddest things I know. People go to churches and Bible schools and Sunday school classes, and they're discussing these things, and they say, well, I guess we just can't explain it. Why? Because they've thrown the history books all away. That's like trying to explain to somebody the history of the United States. And you say, well, go down to the library and get a book and then on the history of the United States. And they get down there, and the librarian says, well, I didn't like the United States. I threw all the books out. We don't have any more. And so you don't have a history of the United States. How are you going to learn about it? See? And that's what they've done. And the Bible people have given up valuable data in the history. All right, look at verse 30. Now there was afar off from them a herd of many swine feeding, and the demons besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine. Notice the back in the history, you had a petition made to God for them before, and he granted it. And he granted this one also. And he said unto them, go, and they came out and went into the swine, and behold, a whole herd rushed down the steep into the sea and perished in the water. And they that fed them fled and went away into the city and told everything and what was befallen to them that were possessed with demons. Now, you could ask me lots of questions about this that I can't even begin to answer, because why did they want to go into the swine? And just because the swine, why did they run the swine into the water? Why did they do that in the first place? And, of course, the question is, then weren't they drowned? No, the demons weren't drowned. I'm pretty sure of that. But why did they do that with the swine, and what was the purpose back of this? There are a lot of questions and the activity of demons that we cannot answer. I cannot answer. I shouldn't say that, because we'll find answers to some of these. I shouldn't say we can't answer, because maybe we can. But right now, I can't. So these are the things to show you that demon activity is permitted, that Jesus Christ never destroyed the demons at all, and they did question about the time of their destruction. So all of it supported or supporting the historic passage we already read. And I put the note in there, so you'll, by looking down these notes, what did the demons mean to torment us before the time? By looking back over these notes, these things will come to your mind. Again, why did Jesus never destroy the demons? I believe the book of Jubilees does give us an answer. Otherwise, I know of no answer. That's the point. If you don't have that, accept that answer, you try to come up with one. I don't know of any other answer. Another ancient record confirms the food eaten by angels. Let's go to page 12 and take a look at this. Now, this is the book of Adam and Eve, page 134. And Charles dates this somewhere between 60 and 300 A.D. Now, I do not agree with these dates, but that's immaterial. I put it there to show you the liberal type of dating. Now, here it is. And they walked about and searched for 9 days, and they found none such as they were used to have in paradise. Now, this is Adam and Eve he's talking about. We're walking around. But found only animals' food. And Adam said to Eve, this hath the Lord provided for animals and brutes to eat. But we used to have angels' food. See it? We used to have angels' food. But it is just and right that we lament before the sight of God who made us. Let us repent with a great penitence. Perhaps, perchance, the Lord will be gracious to us and will pity us and give us a share of something for our living. Now look at Psalm 78 right across the page. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. If you have a King James, it calls it angel's food. Man did eat the bread of the mighty. He sent them food to the full. And so we believe that the manna was the same food of the angels, and there's even more scripture to show it. But I thought I'd just put this note in so you'd see. Another record concerning the fallen angels is in the book of Enoch, page 191, about 170 B.C. Some parts of this book have been found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, they're finding this in the Essene diggings out there. So this is very, very important. We're actually getting copies. See, they've tried. What the liberals did, I should bring this in. What the liberals did is they've taken a lot of this history and say, well, these people didn't want us to believe the New Testament or something like that. And so long after the time of Christ, they wrote up these histories and made it look like they had all the answers. And they have all kinds of ways of explaining things away. Now, all of a sudden, the Dead Sea Scrolls are coming to light. And lo and behold, we actually have copies of these hundreds and hundreds of years older than anything we've ever had. And now how can they deny it? And it's interesting that there is one fella who has written a recent book and says this was a late Christian writing. And this critical man that is writing this translation says, how can you say that's a late Christian writing when we've already got copies of the Dead Sea Scroll? That's DuPont Sumner says this. He says, how can you say it's a late Christian writing when we've already got copies that were made long before the time of Christ? And yet they keep on writing their books just like they weren't finding a thing. And that's the way they're doing. Just like I told you, the one prophetic book writes along and says the Jews can't go back to Palestine yet. Didn't you know that? And he wrote that after they'd been a nation for 10 years. He said they can't go back yet. They can't own the land yet. It doesn't fit in his program. So they can't go back yet. Of course, they're there, but they can't go back yet. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's the kind of reasoning we're getting in these Bible schools. And it is sad. All right? Now, look at another book. It's the book of Enoch. And this is a big section. Now, look at this. And it came to pass, when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and beget us children. Now look, this book of Enoch tells you the whole thing was planned and schemed. Watch. And Semjatha, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. See, they knew that before they were going to start, that they were going to get in trouble. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecation not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it, and they were in all 200. Now, this is one of the records that gives us the number. That's interesting. There were 200 of these who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon, and they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders. Now, here follow two lines of their leaders. These are their chiefs of 10. So they were all militarily arranged, you notice. The armies in heaven. These have left the armies in heaven. They're deserters. They're military deserters. Because, you see, there are many passages in scriptures that talk about the armies in the heavenly. And these are military deserters. That's really what they are. And they're punished, of course, to be punished is death, to desert the military army. So we've got a lot of interesting things. And all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells. I don't know what the L dimension is, so I can't help you with that. Who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. Do you ever hear of cannibalism? Sure you've heard of cannibalism. Well, what's cannibalism? You know where the word cannibal comes from? Kana, Baal, Baal. They're the worshippers of Baal, the false god system. Kana is the word priest, priests of Baal. They don't eat because they're hungry. They eat the human sacrifices offered to Baal exactly as the goat and sheep and so forth were offered in Israel's sacrifices and were eaten. So the cannibal took part of the human sacrifices offered to Baal. And that's where the name cannibal comes from. Cana is a contraction of Cohen. Cohen is the Hebrew word priest, and Baal is the one they worship, Cannibal. And this is what goes together, you see? It's all linked in, all the way along. Okay? Let's go some more. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles, fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. And that's one reason, too, in pagan worship, blood is used. And that's why the early church, the first council, prohibited the use of blood, things strangled, things offered to idols. This is the major corruption in the earth. The whole world worships the idolatrous, blasphemous counter-system of Satan. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they made unto themselves a likeness of four-footed beasts and creeping things. And if any sin could be said to be the worst sin in the world, it's idolatry. It's idolatry. It's fornication against God. Not physical fornication, but the used as it is used in Scripture in the spiritual sense as a rebellion against God. And this is the worst, and that's what they were doing. Now here's a new name entering the program I want you to pay particular attention to. And Azazel taught men to make swords, knives, shields, breastplate, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments, the use of antimony and the beautifying of the eyelids, all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Samjatha taught enchantments and root cutting. Amoros, the resolving of enchantments. Another one taught astrology, the constellations. Another taught the knowledge of clouds. Another taught the signs of the sun. Another the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel. Now here are archangels in charge of the heavenly military, the defense system. It's hard for us to realize that this is all going on in the heavens, but there's a lot of information on it. Looked down from heaven and saw much blood being shed upon the earth and all lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, the earth made without inhabitant cries the voice of their cryings up to the gate of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. This is page 13. And they said to the Lord of ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings, and God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all the generations of the ages, and thy name holy and glorious and blessed unto all the ages. Thou hast made all things, and power over all things thou hast. And all things are naked and open in thy sight. And thou seest all things, and nothing can hide itself from thee. Now, some of these phrases that we're coming to as we go along, some of you will recognize them as biblical phrases, that they do exist. Everything is open before whom we have to do. See? Those are phrases that do exist. Now, watch this fellow. Thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all unrighteousness on earth, and revealed the eternal secrets which were preserved in heaven, which men were striving to learn. And Samjatha, to whom thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates, and they have gone to the daughters of men upon the earth, and have slept with the women, and have defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sin. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby been filled with blood and unrighteousness. And now, behold, the souls of those who have died are crying and making their suit to the gates of heaven. And their lamentations have ascended and cannot cease because of the lawless deeds which are wrought on the earth. And thou knowest all things before they come to pass, and thou seest these things, and thou dost suffer them, and thou dost not say to us that we are to do what we are to do to them in regards to thee.
We'll start there.